Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I don't feel much like preaching right now. Much of what I could say, I suppose, has already been said and sung and felt and thought by all of you. Well, God bless you, Paul. My goodness. My goodness. What song are you writing in the world today? What song is your life writing? If your life is a song that is being sung to God, what song are you writing that will be shared, that will show all the goodness of God in your life, that will be added to? What is the generational quality of your life in the lives of your family and in your friends and in those who touch you and are touched by you? So I guess that's a different way of asking the same kind of question. How do we love one another? Giving your life for another is, I guess, kind of like a song. That's a good way to think of it, I think. So thank you. I want to start with a little humor. I thought that would be two things. For all of you who were here last week, I've been asked to do this. Yump and Yeemanees. And for those of you that weren't, you'll just have to ask later. The toddler property laws. You probably have heard these. I think they're just hysterical. I thought I'd read them to you. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, you have to say this. If it's in my hand, if I take it from you, if I had it a little while ago, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are. If it looks just like mine, if I saw it first, if you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes. If it's broken, it's yours. It's yours. It's not mine now. It's broken. It's broken. I think that we see in children an awful lot of ourselves, I think, at times. And we can see this mine, right? And that was the funniest thing in Nemo, right? With the seagulls. Mine, 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 right? I just thought that was hysterical. But what is that? That's what's known as impulsive will, right? The will of a child is impulsive. It is guided by what? Desire, period, what they want, without any regulation whatsoever. We also see the great sweetness in children where they will create something, and goodness knows where they find the things that they create, but it's handprints in mud and, you know, dirt clods and grass and, you know, whatever's around, and they will create it, and they will so lovingly give it to you, right? They just come up to you, and if you show this wonderful expression to them of, oh my goodness, and put it on the refrigerator, then, you know, you'll get another one. And they will do this endlessly, right? How many parents? Am I speaking the truth? Right. So there is this dichotomy in every child that kind of swings from this impulsive will to this very giving spirit. Well, as Christians, we are asked to, and as adults, we are asked to kind of grow out of that impulsive will. We live in a culture, though, that is consumed by it. We live in a culture that really holds up very high this pursuit of desire. And all of us know people whose lives have been completely and totally destroyed by desire. Unrestrained desire. Untethered impulsive will. So the other types of will are going to be reflective will. A reflective will is one that stops, pauses, and thinks. Reflective will. And it tries to say, what's the right thing, what's the good thing for me within the context of my life? Now, no matter what decisions we make, we end up having a third kind of will, which is embodied will. So we have impulsive will, we have reflective will, and we have embodied will. Embodied will is the habits that you have where your will automatically happens because it's in your body. Right? Paul kind of talks about that when he says, the sin that is in your members. James speaks about it when he talks about the tongue, how it will fly and create a firestorm in someone's life. Right? It's the hand that slaps before the mind has already had a chance to think. It is the curse word that flies. It is the finger that flies. It is all the things that we do. Our mind has not even been engaged yet, and off we go. We have wonderful expressions for this, you know, going postal, right? Going postal. And others that I think, you know, we don't need to go into today. So what we need to talk about today is your will. And scripturally speaking, the will kind of has three different words that you will see throughout scripture. Will, heart, and spirit. Right? So will, heart, and spirit. They all refer to different kind of qualities and aspects of that part of us that is the deepest seat of our action. Jesus often referred to the heart of the tree. Right? A tree, a good tree, bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. So it is so deep within you, it is your nature. It is your nature. So we have these different ways of kind of thinking about this as a society and then as Christians. I had a boss one time and we were, you know, talking kind of in the area of doing good, and he said, well, I don't really follow the golden rule. I follow the silver rule. Who's heard this expression before? It kind of floored me. I was brand new and I just kind of went, what is the silver rule? Well, I won't do anything wrong to anyone and don't want anyone to do anything wrong to me. So that's the silver rule. I just thought you'd know. You know, you'd want to know that. That's it. Gee, there's an option. And I was so reassured that he was my boss. So that was very, yay! The next one is the golden rule, right? We know the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So that's kind of a do good, right? That's the next one. A third one is kind of the Judeo-Christian rule, I will call it. And that moves it into loving one another. And that's found in the greatest commandments. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So that moves it from doing good into loving one another. And then we find the agape rule. And it is best summed up in John 15, which is really the focus of the sermon today. John 15, verse 13. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So we are told to love one another. Let me just kind of skim quickly through some verses that talk about this. Romans 12:10, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Peter said, now that you've purified your souls by obedience to the truth so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. John, he's considered the apostle of love. It's said that as he got older and older and they would carry him into church, he would just come down to saying two things. Love one another. That would be his constant theme. And you see that in all of his writings, in John, in Revelation, and in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us. His love is perfected in us.
So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, said an awful lot of things to the people that he loved, his disciples, the close ones. And I will read a portion of that because I think it's important to hear that in a broader, more sweeping way, and let kind of what Jesus said to them sink into you. I want you to understand that today is about understanding an aspect of that love that we are called to and what it is a reflection of. And what it's a reflection of is what we refer to in Christian circles as the Trinity. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Today I want you to learn more about the Trinity, not from a doctrine perspective, but from an experience perspective, from a guide perspective, from a heart and will perspective. Because left to our own devices, if I see it and I want it, it's mine. I mean, we have that in us. And to move beyond that and beyond not doing something wrong and to move beyond doing something good and to move into a place where we lovingly, willingly, and joyfully love one another requires the Holy Spirit to be within us and our acceptance of Christ and our indwelling with the Trinity, that Trinitarian reality. Now, how is the Trinity with one another? And this is a kind of an interesting way. Let me say that there is a cleaving together of the Trinity, a cleaving together. And there is this aspect between all three members that is mutual love and submission. Mutual love and submission. So the Trinity is with itself in a cleaving together and a mutual love and submission. For any of the theologians or Bible scholars, this is known as perichresis. Perichresis. It is that term that identifies that Jesus is fully man and fully God. So there is no subordination within the Trinity. If there were any subordination, then Jesus would not be equal to God. Here's what some people have said about the Trinity. There is no hierarchy within the Trinity simply because the members of the Trinity will not stand for it. The Trinity is too many to be one and too one to be many. The doctrine of the Trinity is ultimately not a teaching about the abstract nature of God, but a teaching about God's life with us and our life with each other. God's love is rooted in God's Trinitarian nature. God is by nature self-giving. Father to Son and Spirit, Spirit to Father and Son, Son to Father and Spirit. God's love toward us is sacrificial. It is self-giving, reaching out to us even when it is rejected. Being formed in Christ is the extension of the incarnation. The formation of the Christian, the moral, spiritual, and communal, is rooted through Christ in an ever-deepening participation in Trinitarian life. And so we will hear Jesus say things like from Mark 12:29 and 30 and 31. Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. James 2:19, you believe that God is one. That's the unity of the Trinity. Mutual love and submission from Matthew. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The giving of all authority to Christ is a mutual love and submission. It is the submission of all to Christ. John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, the giving of the Father to the Son, and that he had come from God and was going to God. John 17:2, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. John 17:10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine. I have been glorified in them. John 17:1. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." The giving of glory, complete and total, from the Son to the Father. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit, as Jesus did, only saying that which the Father had given to them, through the name and authority that Jesus had. John 16:15, all that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Luke, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal. And John 5:25, very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. This mutual love and submission, this cleaving together, is a model of what that community is like. So when Jesus asks us to love one another and to be willing to express that greatest form of love in the giving of our life for our friends, it isn't just a commandment, it is an expression of the character of God himself. He is asking us to do this so that we may participate in the great community of the Trinity, by taking on that quality that exists within it, that mutual love and submission. And so let me read for you how Jesus said it on the night that he was betrayed. I'm going to begin in John chapter 14, and I will begin at verse 23 and move through John 15 and end at verse 17. Jesus answered them, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I, and now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. As you read through that, you can see how Jesus is calling us into that Trinitarian love, of mutual love and submission, of the full giving over of one to the other. You can see that nothing is left on the table. Nothing is held back. All is given. All is received. All is given. All is received. And that love and mutual submission flows between all of the members of the Trinity. And Jesus, through his incarnation, opens up our ability to abide in that love. And the only way that we can do that is by giving ourselves to one another and giving ourselves to him, to be made more like him in his image and likeness. Philippians 1 through 2:18 is the way that Paul embraced it, and I think that's the next portion of scripture that I would like you to read. And I'll begin in Philippians chapter 1 and move through 2:18. What I'd like you to think about as I read through this is how Paul is emulating Jesus' example of loving one another and of giving his life completely and fully. What I'd like you to see in this is that mutual love and submission that Paul embodies as he writes to the church at Philippi. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now, as always, in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you, since I am convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you, with all of you, for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege, not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. We see in the upper room with the disciples, Jesus giving the example of the self-emptying as he washed their feet, even the feet of his betrayer. And then he went on to an even greater sacrifice, a complete and total emptying of self by dying on the cross. We see in Paul, in the example of Paul, the praying daily, the hard striving of working out his salvation with others. And ultimately, he was poured out as a great libation upon all those who he was in faith with. And as we hear Jesus speaking and as we listen to Paul writing, we can see this wondrous, magnificent community of love that we find in the Trinity. See, it isn't just doctrine. Doctrine leads us into seeing it the way that it should be properly understood. That as we are mutually loving and submissive to one another, subject to one another, giving of ourselves, even the giving of our full life for one another, who is it that we are emulating? Who is it that we are following? What is it that we are participating in, if not the Trinity? Is it not that the Trinity shows us the way how to be with one another? Is it not the way that Jesus tells us that our love for God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, all of it, is the only way that we will ever enter into an understanding of what love truly is, so that we can come back and love our neighbor as Christ did. A love that is freely given even to those who would reject it and reject us as he was rejected. When we look at Peter, when we look at Paul, when we look at John, when we look at James, when we look at all of the people who have followed after, when we hear about all of these songs, what do we see? If not that magnificent love of mutual love and submission. Nothing held back. Could you imagine saying that you would wish to be born blind so that the first vision that you beheld was the face of Christ? Isn't that amazing? I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed by the lives of all of you and all the love that I see in you for one another. As we love one another, as a church, the church takes on the character and quality of the Trinity. The mutual love and submission, the giving over of all that we have, the washing of each other's feet, and if necessary, the giving over of the ultimate sacrifice, our life for one another. But what is life if not in the dailies? In all the things that we do. And so we see on this day, a week after Christmas, where we looked at the incarnation and all that it meant to us as Jesus fully man, that we examine Jesus fully God, and we see that he is a member of a community, and that for us to enter in through him and by having him in us, that we can be full and active participants in that great love of God. Let me read to you a few things in closing from Galatians chapter 2:19. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:1 and verse 21. Therefore be imitators of God. Imitators of God. As beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. The image of heaven that we find in Revelation is the greatest embodiment of our life with God and God with us. An image painted by Jesus in John 15, demonstrated by Jesus in his life and his will to choose to become one of us by becoming like us, and his loving will to suffer and die for us, and infused with the agape love of God the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We live lives in tension with the toddler's rules of ownership. If I like it, I see it, it's mine. And the love that Christ has for each and every single one of us. To love one another the way that Christ showed us and demonstrated to us. And how he lived and how he died. And it is in the power of his resurrection that we live. It is in the power of his Holy Spirit within us to work that out. Agora Bible Fellowship is that kind of a place where we all strive to be more and more like God by following the example of Christ. Happy New Year. Let me pray for you as I call up the worship team for one more song. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day of new beginnings, of a new year, of a new way of entering into and being reminded of the great love you have for us, the great sacrifice that you made for us, and how much you truly love us. Thank you so much that we are in a place where you are revered and glorified and praised and held high. Thank you that this is a place where your word is understood as being a guide for our lives. Thank you that we are in a place where we can stumble and fall and be picked up and carried on in love for one another. Help us to, this year and for all the days of our lives, to find a way to love one another, to be in service to one another, to submit to one another in love, so that we can be more like you and enter more fully into the life of the Trinity, the life of God in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you. All this I pray in Jesus' name.